Welcome to the Pitcot Podcast. This is the show where we dive into complex source material to give you the strategic insights you need, and fast.
Today we're doing a really interesting one. We're looking at global wealth building.
Exactly. We're tackling how to navigate the pretty complex world of international real estate investment.
That's right. And for a lot of investors, you know, stepping outside your home market can feel a bit daunting.
Oh, for sure.
But that's often where the biggest opportunities are. So we've synthesized the methodology from Pitcot's experts to give you five really essential tips for success.
And we should be clear, this isn't just general advice we've pulled from thin air.
No, not at all.
This deep dive is built entirely on the proven strategies you'll find in the best-selling ebooks over on the Pitcot ebook store. They're designed to, you know, cut through all that noise.
The mission today is pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
We want to show you why global property can be a really strategic move for stability and high yield, and to prove that smart tactical planning, well, it beats luck every single time.
To get the full picture and download the guides that really informs the whole discussion, you should visit www.pitcot.com/bookstauding. Seriously, if you're even thinking about international investment, these are the roadmaps. Okay. Sure. Get into it. Tip one, where do you even start looking?
Tip number one, according to Pitcot's analysis, is all about exploring those high growth international opportunities. They make the point that the global scene is just full of these untapped gems.
And they're seeing a shift, right? People moving away from stocks.
A significant one. A flight of capital away from the volatility of the stock markets and towards the stability that, you know, property has always provided.
That stability argument is really interesting, especially now. Property is tangible, you can touch it, but why the focus on emerging markets? Doesn't that sort of contradict the idea of stability?
That's a great question. It's actually about balancing that stability with massive growth potential. So yes, real estate is a great hedge against inflation, but when you target emerging markets on a clear growth path...
Like the ones Pitcot mentions.
Exactly. Countries on the path to EU membership. We're talking about places like Hungary, Slovakia, Bulgaria, Croatia, even Turkey and Northern Cyprus. You combine that base stability with much more reasonable prices and a huge runway for growth.
So the secret sauce isn't just about finding something cheap. It's about buying where you can see these predictable macro level forces at play.
Precisely. You're talking about things like EU accession requirements, which drive massive infrastructure spending and, you know, bring laws into harmony with the rest of Europe.
Which makes things safer for investors.
It does. These places are seeing rapid infrastructure development, better regulatory environments, and demand is spiking. Pitcot's analysis shows rental yields and capital growth there often significantly outpace saturated markets, you know, like London or New York.
So for you, the investor, it's about getting in before the big institutions drive the prices up.
That's the key. But, and this is a big but, it all comes with a necessary layer of protection.
Due diligence.
Non-negotiable. If a market is less mature, you have to do deep upfront homework on political stability, economic indicators, local rules.
All of it. You have to vet the long-term trend, not just some short-term hype you saw online.
Yes. And especially political risk and currency risk. A 20% gain on a property can be wiped out, I mean, literally overnight, by a 20% currency devaluation if you haven't planned your exit.
Which is a perfect transition, actually, to our next point. Once you've picked a place, how do you make sure your plan is actually profitable?
This is tip two. It's about strategy over luck, and it has to be based on detailed modeling.
So what does a smart strategy look like here? What data points are we talking about?
It starts with really intense granular research on the specific neighborhood, the micro market. You need hard data.
Not just feelings?
No, never. What are the actual average property values right now? What are the rental trends? And this is crucial. What are the real occupancy rates?
Yeah.
A market might claim high rents, but if it has 30% vacancy...
It's a mirage. The numbers don't work.
Exactly. You have to find neighborhoods that are demonstrably booming. Because of, say, a new metro line or university expansion. Verifiable growth.
I really appreciate that the Pitcot methodology stresses that you have to look beyond just how new a building is. We sort of assume new construction is always bigger value.
But it's often not true. It's that classic location, location, location paradox.
Right.
You have to compare properties based on location quality, size, amenities, and condition.
Mm.
An older but structurally sound property in a prime central location will almost always outperform a brand new build in a less desirable area long term.
Because you can't move the location. You can always upgrade the building.
You got it. And the second part of this tip is the financial reality check. International success really hinges on calculating potential rental yields realistically.
You can't just take the landlord's optimistic numbers and run with them.
Absolutely not. You have to factor in every single cost. Management fees, property taxes, which are often higher for non-residents, and realistic vacancies. Mm. That gap between a promised 10% yield and a realistic 6%, that can just be the management cost alone.
And Pitcott says to analyze the return on investment, the ROI, after renovations, but before you even start. Why is that pre-renovation analysis so important?
Because it stops you from getting emotional and overspending. It prevents the sunk cost fallacy.
Oh.
You have to make sure that every dollar you put into improvements directly leads to a measurable increase in property value or rental income. If you spend $50,000 on fancy finishes that only add $20,000 to the sale price,
you've just lit $30,000 on fire.
You've destroyed equity. This disciplined, holistic view is what separates the smart investor from the hopeful one.
That holistic view is absolutely key. Okay, this is so important. Before we move into the defense and verification steps, which are frankly probably the most important when you're overseas.
I'd agree with that.
If you are finding this deep dive valuable, please just take a second and press the like button. It genuinely helps the algorithm so other people can find this knowledge.
And remember, all this synthesized knowledge, it comes directly from Pitcott's expert content and methodology.
And if you haven't yet, you should visit www.pitcott.com. There's a wealth of resources there that go way beyond our deep dives.
And of course, please subscribe to our channel if you haven't and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. Okay, let's talk about protection.
Let's do it. Let's get into the defense strategy, starting with tip 3. Never assume, always verify. When you're in a foreign country, assumptions. They can just, as the source says, kill deals.
This is where you have to put your excitement on a shelf and get professional. You have to hire independent inspectors, not the one the seller recommends, to assess the physical condition. But, I mean, internationally, the legal verification is even more critical.
So what are some of those specific legal pitfalls? Say, if you're looking at a place in Croatia or northern Cyprus.
Okay, so we're talking about titles, lands, and easements.
Yeah.
In a lot of emerging markets, the land registry systems might not be as robust or digitized as you're used to.
So you have to verify the seller actually owns it, free and clear.
100%.
Yeah.
Then you check for liens. Are there any existing mortgages or debts tied to that property? And easements. This one is huge.
Right away. Things like that.
Exactly. Shared access, utility rights, unrecorded agreements. Things that could suddenly restrict how you use the land.
Mm-hmm.
Not understanding a foreign easement can turn into a multi-year, very expensive headache.
So the rule is, if anything feels even slightly off, you have to dig deeper. And that rigor applies to the numbers, too, not just the legal stuff.
Absolutely. Scrutinize every financial projection. If a local property tax seems way too low, you have to find out why. Is there some subsidy that's about to expire?
Good point.
This whole phase is just about eliminating the unknowns. And getting a fresh pair of eyes, a second opinion, is priceless for spotting risks you might miss when you're excited about a deal.
And that leads us perfectly into tip 4. Seek expert guidance. Real estate is complex enough at home. When you cross borders, that complexity just, it grows exponentially. You can't do it alone.
You just can't. You need a highly specialized team for that specific country.
Uh-huh.
Pitcott is very clear on this. You need a lawyer who lives and breathes local property law.
And knows all the rules about foreign ownership.
Yes. An accountant who understands the international tax treaties. A specialized real estate agent who knows the micro markets. And, of course, those reliable independent inspectors we mentioned.
It can seem really hard, though, to find truly specialized people in a market you don't know.
It can be. The key is to seek recommendations from, say, reputable international investment firms or legal associations, not just the local ads. The source material uses a great analogy for this. Seeking expert advice is like having a detailed roadmap in a foreign city. It just ensures you get to your destination faster and safer, navigating all the tricky issues before they become huge problems.
So admitting your limitations isn't weakness. It's just smart. It's a sign of discipline. You're paying for safety.
That's the core message. And all that protection and strategy, it ties directly into our final tip.
Tip 5, the one that underpins everything else. Craft a realistic budget, and this is the hard part, stick to it. This is your financial roadmap for the whole project.
And that budget needs to be, well, brutally comprehensive.
Mm-hmm.
It has to account for everything, the purchase price, of course, but also legal fees, agent commissions, renovations, ongoing taxes, insurance, utilities, all of it.
If you leave out even one of those, the whole plan's integrity is compromised.
It is. And the most vital part of that budget, the one piece of advice everyone needs to hear, is the contingency fund.
Because real estate always throws curveballs.
Always. And international real estate throws bigger, faster curveballs. That contingency fund is your buffer. It's not optional.
What does Pitcott recommend for a number?
A strong benchmark is to budget an extra 15 to 20% of the purchase price just for those unexpected things. Regulatory delays, construction overruns, you name it. Without that buffer, one small problem can kill your profitability and make the whole thing incredibly stressful.
And the discipline continues when you start spending the renovation money. You
yeah.
have to monitor it closely, be ready to adjust. And the big warning is, you know, avoid the temptation to overspend on fancy upgrades that don't actually add measurable value.
Right. Focus your capital where it adds a verifiable return.
Yeah.
Regular budget reviews aren't just an accounting task. They keep the whole investment on track and keep those surprises manageable.
So let's wrap this all up for you. We've gone through the five core steps from the Pitcott methodology. You explore emerging markets strategically.
You plan your financials and research meticulously.
Verify every single legal and structural detail.
Seek out specialized expert guidance for that region.
And you stick rigidly to a solid contingent budget.
You know, following these steps makes the whole investment journey not just more profitable, but just fundamentally less risky. It's a different game. We've given you the framework.
So now the question is for you. Which one of these high potential regions, is it Hungary, Bulgaria, Northern Cyprus? Which one are you going to research first to make your move?
You can find more expert guidance just like this at www.pitcott.com.
And remember to visit www.pitcott.com/pitcott.com for those best-selling ebooks that informed our entire deep dive today.
Please subscribe to our channel if you haven't and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. And also press the like button if you love our show.
It genuinely helps the recommendation algorithm so others can access this critical knowledge too. Thank you so much for being there with us.
Thank you for listening to the Pitcott Podcast.
I will leave a link in the description below.